Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Numbers 210 to 259, MR Number 227, Miscellaneous Items Requested for Publication. This is no time to foster pleasure-loving by providing the youth, as they enter upon their student's life, with facilities for the playing of games which are a snare to all who engage in them. They act as if the school were a place where they were to perfect themselves in sports, as if this were an important branch of their education, and they come armed and equipped for this kind of training. This is all wrong, from beginning to end. Amusement that serves as exercise and recreation is not to be discarded. Nevertheless, it must be kept strictly within bounds, else it leads to love of amusement for its own sake, and nourishes the desire for selfish gratification. A great mistake has been made in following the world's plans and ideas of recreation in indulgence and pleasure-loving. This has resulted in loss every time. We need now to begin over again. It may be essential to lay the foundation of schools after the pattern of the schools of the prophets. You see the work that has been established here. You see that advancement has been made, and that the education has been carried forward in right lines, under many discouraging circumstances. Brother Sutherland and Brother Megan do not go out from this place as men who have made a failure, but as men who have made a success. The students that have been with them need not be ashamed of the education they have received. To the students, I would say, you are to let your teachers go willingly. They have had a hard battle here. They think that they can better glorify God by going to a more needy field. This is their own choice. I have not persuaded them. They did not know but that Sister White would stand in their way. But when they laid the matter before me this morning, I told them that I would not hinder them for one moment. 54, 1904, 2, 3, 5. Remarks of E.G. White at Berrien Springs, May 23, 1904. Consider the circumstances of the Jewish nation when the prophecies of Daniel were given. The Israelites were in captivity. Their temple had been destroyed, their temple service suspended. Their religion had centered in the ceremonies of the sacrificial system. They had made the outward forms all important, while they had lost the spirit of true worship. Their services were corrupted with the traditions and practices of heathenism, and in the performance of the sacrificial rites, they did not look beyond the shadow to the substance. They did not discern Christ, the true offering for the sins of men. The Lord wrought to bring the people into captivity and to suspend the services in the temple in order that the outward ceremonies might not become the sum total of their religion. Their principles and practices must be purged from heathenism. The ritual service ceased in order that heart service might be revived. The outward glory was removed that the spiritual might be revealed. In the land of their captivity, as the people turned unto the Lord with repentance, He manifested Himself unto them. They lacked the outward representation of His presence, but the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shone into their minds and hearts. When they called unto God in their humiliation and distress, visions were given to His prophets, which unfolded the events of the future, the overthrow of the oppressors of God's people, the coming of the Redeemer, and the establishment of the everlasting kingdom. During the night season, while traveling by train in Australia, I was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In my dreams, I was standing before many people, urging them with deep earnestness to trust in God, to have increasing faith and confidence in Jesus. He is the chiefest among 10,000 and altogether lovely. We do not recount God's mercies often enough. Scarcely any thanksgiving flows back from us to God. By our failure to express gratitude, we are dishonoring our Maker. His angels, thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, are commissioned to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They guard us against temporal evil and press back the powers of darkness, else we should be destroyed. Why do we not value God's watch care? After I had spoken many words to the people, I awoke. I looked from the window of the sleeper and saw two white clouds. I feel asleep again, and in my dreams the words were spoken to me. Look at those clouds. just such clouds enshrouded the heavenly angels who came to herald the birth of Christ to the watching shepherds. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I looked from the window of my car, and again saw the two clouds. They were pure white, and occasionally touched each other, and then separated. And until 12 o'clock, when we changed cars, they were in full view. I enjoyed the most precious peace and comfort. My thought was, the angels of the Lord are enshrouded in those pure, beautiful clouds. We have the guardianship of the angels. I felt an assurance that we were to see the salvation of God in the meeting to be held in Brisbane. When Jesus takes his place on the great white cloud, he that is holy will be holy still, and he which is filthy will be filthy still. His reward is with him, to give to every one according as his works shall be. Released September 8, 1969.